Don't care for the man in, as a person, but I think he did great things in office. But I think he's gaslighting now. I think he goes because he feels threatened. And if he focused on the good things that he did in office, he would be a whole lot better off. If he could focus on what he did and show us how he's going to do more of the same, then he would be a whole lot more positive. But he goes on the attack rather than being a positive influence.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, Dan. Look, this is a little bit of what we're already talking about here, which is some of the people advising Trump right now around him, honestly just don't know what the hell they're doing. I'll just be honest with some of you. That's the truth. I know who some of them are. There are some serious players in there, too, but there are some real clowns. And I think that he's getting some very bad advice. I know that, actually. So that's going on. That's a part of it. Shannon in Round Rock, Texas. What's going on, Shannon?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey.
I've had some concerns about DeSantis, but I think what really solidified my concerns was this afternoon when you interviewed him and you asked him, would you pardon Trump? And he never came out and said, yes, I will pardon Trump. He danced around the entire question.
Well, Clay, you asked him that question.
Yeah,
he said, audio.
Shannon, we'll play the audio tomorrow. I don't know if we have time to play it right now. But look, I said yesterday on the show, some of you heard me saying it, as a matter of principle, if I were running for president of the United States as a Republican or, frankly, a Democrat, I would pardon Donald Trump because I don't think we need to set the precedent of presidents or former presidents should be arrested and tried to put in prison. That's what happens in banana republics. For those of you who didn't hear, we'll play it for you tomorrow on the show. DeSantis said he would consider pardons for every single January 6th political prisoner, as well as the president of the United States in the event that he was charged. Now, to be fair, Buck, some people don't like to answer hypotheticals, right? We haven't had Trump charged yet. We don't know what the charges are. But I would stand on the principle of, personally, there should not be charges being brought here. And by the way, on the Trump front, on in the advisors, I would point this out. Every single person who is running for president of the United States against Trump, he hasn't said a single negative word about them except for DeSantis. Think about that. Really. Nikki Haley, nothing. Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy. Most of them he's giving positive endorsements of. He's going after DeSantis. That, to me, tells me this is a two-man race. Everybody else is in it to be VP, is in it to be a cabinet secretary. So far, we got two 800-pound gorillas, and they are going to be throwing big punches at each other. It's going to get nasty.
But we're going to have a place here to talk about it, friends, to follow it, to be a part of it, and to hopefully get this country where it needs to be on Clay and Buck.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Mike Lindell's introducing the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the original MyPillow, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's using new technology to make the pillow even better.
The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now has brand new exclusive fabric that is made with temperature regulating thread.
The MyPillow 2.0 is available at a great value right now. Buy one, get one free for a limited time with promo code Clay and Buck. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. The pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Special Square, and you'll get this buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. Enter promo code Clay and Buck. Or call 800-792-3269 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month. A savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-280-6565. That's 1-800-280-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-280-6565. That's 1-800-280-6565.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Sahara Chrysler Dodge Ram, located at 5050 West Sahara, invites you to their Memorial Day sales event. Receive $7,610 off MSRP on the new 22 Dodge Challenger RT rear-wheel drive, or save $7,440 off MSRP on the new Chrysler Dodge Touring. Plus, new Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew and Quad Cab, and 23 Ram 1500 Laramie Crew and Quad Cab 4x4, both with 2.9 financing. Sahara Chrysler Dodge Ram, right on the price, right on the corner of Sahara at 5050 West Sahara. Sahara Chrysler Dodge Ram. Come check out all of our Memorial Day specials.
All personal injury attorneys are not the same. Sure, we all claim to do the same things, but that's where the similarities between Lerner & Rowe and all other law firms end. Lerner & Rowe was recently named the second most influential law firm in the country, and we've collected billions of dollars for our clients, with over $1 billion in the last 5 years alone. If you want real results after you've been hurt in a car wreck, call Lerner & Rowe today.
Lerner & Rowe is the way to go. Call 877.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios, from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. The U.S. economy grew at a lackluster 1.3% annual rate from January through March. The revised measure of growth in the nation's gross domestic product, the economy's total output of goods and services, marked a deceleration from the 3.2% annual growth from July through September and 2.6% from October through December. The GOP field running for president continues to grow, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, as expected, joining the race. Correspondent Will Weisert reports that the governor has some hurdles to cross in competing with Donald Trump.
The big question with DeSantis is whether or not he's really electable. He tends to not be quite as charismatic, and he's trying to run a very populist campaign similar to Trump. The problem is that he doesn't sort of cut the same stage figure and stage presence that Trump often does. In the meantime, he's raised a lot of money. There's a lot of buzz around his campaign, and he does not have the legal baggage that former President Trump does.
Correspondent Will Weisert. Also at townhall.com, it was devastating. Many residents of Guam are without power and utilities. That's after Typhoon Moar tore through the remote U.S. Pacific Territory. Chief Guam meteorologist Landon Adlett.
We are waking up to a rather disturbing scene out there across Guam. We're looking out our door, and what used to be a jungle looks like toothpicks. It looks like a scene from the movie Twister, with trees just thrashed apart.
There were minor injuries reported, but no fatalities. The typhoon, the strongest to hit the territory of roughly 150,000 people since 2002. Stocks are mixed on Wall Street. The Dow is down 61 points, but the NASDAQ is ahead 194. More at townhall.com.
People ask me sometimes, Lance, I'm worried about my finances and I feel bad because I shouldn't be worried, right? I realize that inflation is going to be eating up money. I've got to do something to get around this crazy stock market and Biden's spending spree. Gold has, since the beginning of time, been the resource that God's people have relied on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, is what the prophet Haggai said during a time of great shaking. To protect your retirement, I recommend that you diversify your 401k or IRA right out of paper assets and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with Gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. I want you to text the words FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and get a free info kit on Gold IRAs. There's no strings attached to this, so just text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and see what I've discovered here about gold and its ability to stabilize your investment and create a storage of wealth for you in unsteady.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
It's 12:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. State lawmakers have struck a deal with the Oakland A's, which would provide up to $380 million in public money to help build the team's planned ballpark on the Las Vegas Strip. Governor Joe Lombardo says the agreement is between his office, the team, State Treasurer Zach Conine, and Clark County officials. The public money would include $185 million from the state in a transferable tax credit. Clark County would throw in $150 million, with most of it in the form of a bond issue, which would be repaid from the tax district, which is set up around that proposed Tropicana Las Vegas Stadium site. The A Stadium would cover 9 acres of the 35-acre site on the southeast corner of Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard, and then lead the demolition to the Tropicana Hotel Casino. That is going to happen. Bally's Corporation, the owner of the Tropicana, has plans to build a new hotel casino on the remaining acreage after the stadium is built. The stadium could be ready to play ball as early as 2027. The restaurant, which started the celebrity culinary craze, has closed its doors. A popular Las Vegas eatery for nearly 30 years, the Planet Hollywood Restaurant is no more.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Watch for a vehicle fire. That is Sahara at Industrial. Got a hit and run. That's Serene at Spencer. Got an injury accident. Lamb at Owens. Look out for an incident. Flamingo at Jones. And congestion on the Beltway 215 westbound at Valley Verde.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Good Thursday afternoon. Kevin Wall is not here today. So yet again, this seems to be happening more and more. You are stuck with me. I am Michael Schaus, former communications director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nowadays, I'm doing my own thing. You can find me at schauscreative.com. For those of you who are not fluent in German, that's spelled S-C-H-A-U-S, creative.com. You know, we've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, the legislative session is coming to an end, so we're going to check in with Marcos Lopez from Nevada Policy Research Institute later today, get a feel for what's going on up at the legislature. We're also going to be talking about opportunity scholarships, and we've got something special for you a little bit later today. We're going to be giving away some tickets. We've got 2 tickets to Barry Manilow, which is going to be fantastic. That's, let's see, he's got shows from June through December. So a lot of opportunities there. I'll let you know how you can win some of those tickets a little bit later today, but keep listening for that. To start the show off with, though, let's go right to the big news. Oakland A's, soon to be the Las Vegas A's, apparently. So hooray, we're going to have the worst team in baseball. This is very exciting. To talk a little bit about this, I actually wrote a piece that was in the Nevada Independent today, or yesterday maybe, bemoaning the fact that we're giving tons of money to a private sports organization. And another guy wrote a little bit about that as well. He's a fantastic guy, John Mazzina. He's the president of the Center for Economic Accountability, which is a great organization. It's a think tank that works on economic development. And if you know anything about me, you know this is one of the issues that just drives me nuts, because politicians really like to pretend that economic development means just throwing a bunch of money towards politically connected companies, or in this case, sports franchises. So, John, thank you so much for joining the show today. I appreciate it.
Great to be here, Michael Flake.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. It's been a little while, but yeah, saw your piece in the Nevada Independent where you had a great point here. You said, why are we putting this on taxpayers without giving taxpayers even any voice? And this is something that has bothered me. The entire process between the A's and state leaders has happened behind closed doors. And then all of a sudden, right at the end of the session, we hear, oh, look, $190 million in transferable tax credits, $150 million in bonding from the county. Isn't this wonderful? And we're all supposed to just sit back and cheer. What would happen if we actually put this to taxpayers based off of what's gone on in other parts of the country?
I mean, it's not 100% either way. I know the Independent has done some polling itself that suggests that maybe there's a sort of general favor for this among Nevada voters. But the reality of what's happened elsewhere is that when given the choice, taxpayers are fully willing to vote down stadium deals that they just don't think are worth it. It happened in the last general election in, for instance, Albuquerque, where there was, I believe, a $40 million proposal for a minor league soccer stadium, and voters knocked it down. It's happened in places like St. Louis and Long Island, where voters have just been against this stuff, which is one of the reasons why these days teams and sports leagues and politicians who love them and love their lobbying dollars have opposed putting these things to a vote. We saw in New York State where, Governor Hochul there broke the $1 billion barrier for stadium subsidies with her subsidy to the Buffalo Bills. That was polling, statewide and in Western New York. That was basically 2/3 against, 1/3 in favor at best. The same has happened elsewhere. So I wrote, people are really starting to understand the degree to which stadium subsidies are a giant scam, at least when it comes to the broader question of economic development, of the idea that they are, economically useful, valuable, sort of creative, productive parts of a city or a state or a community, and how that just is not true. It doesn't work. You can look at the real world evidence on the ground across the country. And people are starting to realize, hey, maybe, we shouldn't be suckered in by this. And when they actually have a say in the matter, they vote it down. I don't know whether or not that would be absolutely true in Las Vegas, but at the very least, my argument was that the voters should be given a say in this. This is a issue that is too big, too important, and too contentious to be left up to backroom deals and sort of last-minute handouts of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and this is one of those areas that's really frustrating to me because, I was on NPR recently talking with actually a member from the Battleborn Progressives or what have you, very far left organization here in the state of Nevada. And we were both in agreement that this seems like probably a bad idea to shovel $190 million in transferable tax credits to a private sports franchise. And I've noticed that conservatives, libertarians, obviously libertarians, we kind of dislike everything, it seems, but conservatives, libertarians, progressives, there's a lot of bipartisan opposition to this. And on the grassroots level, as we've seen in other parts of the country, there seems to be a lot of opposition among voters. And yet we're hearing almost every year something like this happening where politicians go ahead and give the green light, give a bunch of money to a private organization. How does that happen? What exactly is the driving force here? I mean, obviously lobbyists, but, can you explain a little bit about why, lawmakers in Nevada or anywhere would look at this and say, hey, look, yeah, $190 million, sure, here you guys go. Is it just the photo op that they're hoping to get when they break ground?
That's a huge part of it. And you know, to begin with, you're absolutely right about the fact that this is not a partisan issue, both sort of economic development subsidies, corporate welfare in general, as well as stadium subsidies specifically, are a fascinating area because it's both in my personal experience working on this for years, as well as what you see in the polling, it's not an issue of right versus left. Instead, it's the principled people on sort of either edge versus sort of the squishy middle. And I joke sometimes that you can hate and fear big business, or you can hate and fear big government, but we can all agree that when the two of them get together, it's the rest of us that gets screwed. So that's really sort of the political game and play. And I work very regularly. I come, as you know, from a libertarian background, and that's where our organization sort of is philosophically based. But we work very regularly and very closely with principled, you know, progressive types who I agree with very little else on, but we work together in good faith on this stuff because we share the same, you know, please just stop doing this policy promotion. But as far as the question of why this happens, I mean, it is an open question, and I hate to just sort of say lobbyists and wave that away, even though there is very good evidence that, you know, again, in general, when it comes to economic development, that companies that hand out, that make political donations are four times more likely than those that don't to get subsidies. So that's a problem throughout the world of sort of corporate welfare, economic development, call it what you will. But more, I think it is a function of the fact that, you know, rabid sports fans are going to be a lot angrier about losing the team in a politician's sort of personal calculation of which way to go on this than the average taxpayer is going to be angry about the subsidy. So, you know, just sort of Joe average might, you know, it might make up, you know, 1 or 2% or whatever of their vote that their government is, you know, burning $100 million or a couple $100 million on this. For the sort of fanatic sports fans, it's going to be a huge issue and anything that can completely turn them off a politician. At least that's the you know, I don't have any data necessarily on that, but that is the gut feel I get from talking to politicians about this stuff. Is they're sort of, they're more worried that sports nuts are going to get angry at them than they are that taxpayers will just be, you know, angry about sort of one more incremental waste of taxpayer dollars. And, you know, we're sort of waiting to see how that plays out in places like Nashville, where city council members just voted for $1.25 billion stadium subsidy, despite, again, you know, sort of 2/3 of voters being against the deal. I think we'll have to start seeing some politicians being punished for these handouts before that'll start changing over time. Because so far, there's very few evidences or very few examples of politicians where people got angry about the subsidies being made that they actually paid a price for them.
Yeah, and I think that there's an open question, too, among a lot of voters. You know, when we're talking about whether or not this is going to pay for itself, I mean, look at Oakland, for example. Las Vegas Raiders now, no longer the Oakland Raiders. We're talking about the A's. Oakland still owes money on the Coliseum. They still owe money on the facilities that used to host those two organizations. So I think people, you know, are looking at that and saying, all right, even if we are going to be spending $190 million in transferable tax credits and all this bonding and abatements and everything else, what guarantees do we have that the Las Vegas A's are going to remain the Las Vegas A's for the foreseeable future? And that to me seems to be, you know, just talking to folks anecdotally, that seems to be a big concern among voters, even beyond just the cost.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, in St. Louis, they're still paying for the dome where the Rams used to play,
right,
a long time ago. And ironically, they're now playing in Los Angeles in a stadium that was almost entirely paid for by the team itself, because, you know, that was an environment where the team owners wanted to be for various business reasons, media market, the size of the fan base potentially, but where they just knew that there wasn't any appetite among either the populace as a whole or the politicians there to try to, you know, hand out subsidies. They're sort of like, if you want to come to Los Angeles, great. If not, then, you know, fine, so be it. And the Kroenke there decided, okay, I'm going to pay for my own stadium and both host the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, with my former Detroit Lion, Matthew Stafford, but that's a whole separate issue. but I mean, the the fundamental thing that people really need to understand is that the question of, you know, are stadiums a good deal for communities to finance, to subsidize in some methodology, whatever that might be, it's not actually a question. It is not something that economists disagree about. Like literally the sort of most recent overview of the research and the real world evidence on this, basically said, economists can stop studying this now. It's just a solved question. Like there's no need to keep asking this question. That in fact, no, they are not worth it. A couple of years ago, the University of Chicago has a sort of panel of like the most eminent economists in the country, the kind of people who like run the economics departments at like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and people in the World Bank and Council of Economic Advisors and all sort of stuff. And they poll them on matters of the day. And every now and then they throw in a fun question and they ask their panel, you know, basically the question, do you think that subsidies for professional sports stadiums, you know, are a good fiscal idea? And the response came back, it was 85% said no, 11% weren't sure, and 4%, which was one person, said yes. The 85% who said no included, and I kid you not, 7 Nobel Prize winners in economics. And the one guy who said yes was a Cubs fan whose team had just broken a century-long World Series drought, and his response was essentially, well, fiscally, no, but like everybody gets really happy when a team wins.
It makes us feel good.
The community beyond that.
Yeah, it makes us feel good. That's amazing.
Drunk. It's literally like you can't find anything economists agree with on that much. And on the other side, one of my favorite fun facts is that there are some, you know, firms and there's some consultants who will produce reports to the contrary that the politicians and the teams waited around. The primary firm that does this most places around the country, a company named Convention Sports and Leisure, when you start digging into it, you come to realize that the company that owns it, their majority owners are the owners of the Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees, so Jerry Jones and Hank Steinbrenner. And you know you can trust those guys to tell you the truth when it comes to whether or not it would be a good idea to give a pro sports team a whole bunch of money.
Hey, John, I really appreciate you coming on the show. If people want to find out more about what you are up to, they can go to economicaccountability.org, correct?
Absolutely.
Economicaccountability.org. Again, John Messina. I am Michael Schaus, filling in for Kevin Wall. Give us a call, 844-263-8232. That's 844-2-NEVADA if you want to be a part of the program. And we'll be right back on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio, done right.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
Hi. This is Assemblyman Toby Urich, representative for Nevada's Assembly District 19. I've lived in Nevada for almost 35 years, and I love our great state. I'm a retired police officer, having served 20 years with the Henderson Police Department. I am so excited to serve in the Nevada Assembly and to work with my fellow legislators to find solutions to challenges and to promote policies that will help all Nevadans. For more information about me and the issues I stand for, please visit my website at tobyurich.com.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to